Now, it's been over four decades since the Kingdom of Bhutan began to embark on a genuinely quite stunning modernisation program that chose to value gross national happiness over traditional success markers such as gross national product. It has been a remarkable success for the kingdom. Living standards, health conditions and educational levels have all greatly increased, and it's proven to be a very sound economic model. 35 years after the program began, Bhutan was the second fastest growing economy in the world. So what can we learn from the lessons of GNH over GNP? Now, Dr. Samdu Chetri is the executive director of the GNH Centre in Bhutan. He's in Australia for a series of talks about gross national happiness through the School of Life. He joins me on the phone. Dr. Chetri, a very good morning to you.
Very good morning to you. Thank you for inviting me to talk to you.
It is an absolute pleasure. Now, perhaps you could explain some of the philosophy behind gross national happiness as an ideal.
Right. In fact, the modern economic development is based on excessive production, waste, and consumption, which tends to destroy the environment, ecology, and as well the society. So Bhutan embarked on this philosophy some 40 years ago, and we call it gross national happiness. It is looking at the holistic human development, balancing material and spiritual well-being. So we have nine domains. These nine domains actually are, we feel, and it's bottom-up, decided by the people, are very important for their own holistic development. So we have four pillars, nine domains, 124 variables. We try and do a survey every 2 to 2.5 years, especially in the beginning of a five-year plan and then the middle of a five-year plan, to see how our indexes are working, how our progression is happening. So our progress, we look through the societal happiness. We do not see infrastructure, technology to be a part of development, but we see people's happiness as the progress to development.
Was this difficult to implement in a country? I mean, I think from a Western perspective, we would imagine quite a lot of backlash about that.
In fact, our king, His Majesty Jigme Singye Wangchuck, became king at the very early stage of age of 16 years. He was just plus 16 when he had to become the king, as his father expired. He's the king who propounded on gross national happiness. Is more important than gross national product. Mm. And from the very beginning, he realized that people, the ultimate goal of every human being was to be happy and well. So he thought, what could he do to bring his people to that stage? And so he went to the people and started to talk to them and made them completely aware that they are responsible for themselves and also devolve the power over the time. So, in fact, after 34 years of his role, when he was just about 51 plus, he retired saying that I'm old, my son now can rule the kingdom. And he pronounced that Bhutan shall go democratic now. And people felt very bad. We all felt very bad that the king was leaving us. But he told us that, look, now you need to have a collective decisions. Not that one person can decide the future of your lives. And he forced democracy into us. And we thought everything was going to change in our lives. But nothing changed except for the ministers and the parliamentarians and the prime minister, a new position. Everything was intact. So he had worked 34 years devolving power, creating the setup for the democracy. And, you know, there we were. So he had worked tirelessly with the people. And it is a bottom-up approach rather than a top-down approach. So it was very easy for the country to embark that philosophy very easily.
Well, it's incredible to me what a success story it's been. What do you think countries such as Australia can learn from the concept of gross national happiness?
I realize that Australia has all the conditions to embark onto this philosophy. But knowing that governments are run by corporations, industries, and factories, they are not going to bring this philosophy directly into the governance stage. But what Australia can do is they can begin this concept at the business level, if not at the community level, beginning with the individual, with the individual level. For example, now I'm here in Malam Bimbi, with a group of, I call them Australian ambassadors, who had come to Bhutan, and we're just having a reunion here to discuss what has changed within their community. They had come to Bhutan to learn more on gross national happiness, and now I'm happy to come here and review a bit about what they're doing and help them embed within their lives and also embody that principles in the community. So I think actually Australia has all the possible means and conditions to follow this philosophy, and I think it should begin from the community upwards. And if a community would change because of this philosophy, the other communities are going to immediately copy the whole idea. And I think ultimately Australia could be a GNH country as well.
That would be a beautiful thing to see. Dr. Chetri, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for your time. It was a great honour to speak to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Dr. Samdhu Chetri there. He's the Executive Director of the Gross National Happiness Centre of Bhutan. Now, he is in Australia, as you heard. He's in Mullumbimby at the moment. He's back down to Sydney on Tuesday, June 27th, for a chat at the Sydney School of Life on gross national happiness. Glad we could get him back. I'm fascinated by the concept. And as he said, it's a bottom-up idea, so maybe a community movement can actually make a bit of an inspiration for the country at large.